Welcome to Culinary Medicine Chats, where we talk with industry experts and learn about best practices and innovations in the field. I'm your host, Olivia Thomas. Welcome back, everyone. I am Olivia Thomas, co-founder of Rewire Health, and I'm here today with Dr. Jacqueline Albin. Welcome, Jacqueline.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So I'm so excited about this conversation. And before we dive in, I would love to hear some more about your background and your work in culinary medicine.
Absolutely. So first and foremost, I'm a primary care physician and dual trained in internal medicine and pediatrics. So I love that because I think about the lifespan when I think about culinary medicine. How did the habits that we form in childhood affect our adult health and lives? And then when we look at adults and their habits and their health behaviors, how did their childhood shape that story? And going back to some of those roots around our experiences in childhood often help us think about how we can change behavior in teaching kitchens. And so that really is what brought me to caring about culinary medicine. My grandparents were farmers, and I learned at a very early age about the beauty of growing food in your own backyard and knowing where it came from. And then how do you turn that into something that's delicious that the whole family wants to eat? And I never thought that that could be my career until I learned about culinary medicine and was able to begin infusing nutrition in a kitchen and cooking context into the education of students and other learners that I worked with in my health system. And then bringing that to patients, bringing that to the community, bringing that to research has been how I've shaped my journey so that all of those areas help us advance people's understanding of the role that food plays in their health.
I love that perspective, and I love thinking about it through the lifespan because I think that's so important, especially within the context of medicine, thinking of prevention and young people to managing diseases and different life cycle needs, and then aging adults and having healthful aging. And so I really like the way you put that. So I know you've been at it for a very long time. You've been a leader, you've published on it, you speak about culinary medicine. What is a project you're working on right now that you're most excited about?
So I think we get excited about our big programs. We get excited about the research grants, but really the transformational change for human health, which is what most of us are in this for. We want to see human health get better, and we want to see people empowered to do it for themselves. That's very important to my mission, is that I actually make myself as a physician less relevant and that they have the tools to be successful with their own health. So if we want to do that, it means we get out of the health system and we get into the community. So that's actually where I'm focusing a lot of energy right now, is building community partnerships where we are equipping and training people who already have an established reputation and presence in a community to be able to sustain models that work for that community. Because one of the problems with being experienced in a field is that you develop your way of doing things, and then you almost have this tendency to take it wherever you go and want to deploy that model. But what we have to have is adaptability and flexibility to say this area of the country. So let's take a rural community versus an urban community. They're going to have different needs. They're going to have different access to food resources. And you tie that as well as cultural background into how you do this work to really be able to meet the needs of any individual community. So I love working with YMCAs, faith-based organizations, and other groups, food pantries that are already embedded and they understand who they're serving, and then learning from them how we can adapt teaching kitchen programs to specifically meet the needs of their population.
I think that sounds like a great project and something that many of us could model our programs off of. And I really like that point because I think a lot about the difference between culinary medicine and cooking classes. And in a cooking class, at least the way I think about it, it's here are these steps that you need to follow and master. And culinary medicine is here's a platform for us to work together to build new skills and taste new flavors to find something that works for you. And it's not as prescriptive and it's a lot more patient-centered. I would love to hear more about how this program's the program is being built and kind of how you're thinking about things.
I love that you brought up that distinction because I always say everyone eats. So everyone should cook. And sometimes with patient encounters, if I have a patient who maybe hasn't cooked very much and they've relied on someone else, I'm like, well, if you want to eat certain way, you should also be cooking. So cooking classes are so important because they help us give people that skill set and that culinary literacy to recognize that healthier eating can be delicious. But then culinary medicine takes it to the next level and it says, where is the medicine? What is your health diagnosis or health conditions that you want to prevent based on your own family history? And what are your medications? What are your limitations? All of that is taken into account, which is typically done by a physician or maybe an advanced practice provider like a PA or nurse practitioner. That person is going to be guiding the medical oversight of someone's health plan. Then you say, hey, culinary medicine is one of our tools that we're going to prescribe as part of this. And we may also be prescribing food. And you hear the terminology food is medicine. There's kind of an alphabet soup right now of different terms and phrases that can be confusing. And typically, food is medicine is talking about programs that prescribe different levels of food as a resource for people who have food insecurity and a health need or both. And culinary medicine goes alongside and says, we're going to take your medical context, we're going to take hopefully a food-based resource if you need that. And then we're going to give you the intersection of skills that come from medical expertise, registered dietitian, nutritionist expertise, and culinary expertise. And so that might mean you have a program that's got a physician, a dietitian, and a chef, or in the field of dietetics, there's an increasing presence of culinary dietitians, which are, I call them unicorns, but it's a dual trained person who brings culinary skill set to the nutritional skill set and has both. And so when you come into a culinary medicine space, you're doing this as part of treatment. And I think that's an amazing innovation where we say treatment is not just me writing you a prescription or you going to physical therapy. Those matter, and we're not eliminating those. It's a yes and approach. But now we're saying this is part of your overall treatment plan where your nutrition therapy happens in a kitchen and it includes culinary literacy, but it's about a lot more than just teaching someone how to follow a recipe in a kitchen.
Yeah, those are really good points. And it kind of brings me to my next question, which how do chefs and dietitians fit within the context of culinary medicine? I know you work in an interprofessional team, and I would love to hear kind of your perspectives and how you work with your team specifically.
Absolutely. Well, dietitians have skills far beyond just talking about nutrition. They know how to make lesson plans. They know how to create an educational model of developing health behavior change. So that takes into account what are the core teaching points that we have in a culinary medicine class. Yes, it's a cooking class, but we're actually teaching you why fiber matters for lowering cholesterol. Here are the sources of fiber in your diet. Here are the recommended daily values of fiber based on your age, gender, et cetera. And here's the food that you just ate that you liked. And so the culinary strategy is the how, but we also have the what and the why in there. What is it that you're supposed to eat and why? Tying it back to the health conditions. And so I think there's a real opportunity for people to operate within their specialty expertise, within their training, while also having a little bit of overlap, a little Venn diagram with other fields. So as a physician, I have some nutritional training, more so than a lot of physicians. So I work with my dietitian partner in developing some of those shared patient educational objectives. And then my dietitian has culinary training. I'm the mediocre cook in there, by the way. I'm the one who can get a meal on the table, but it's not necessarily going to be the prettiest or the tastiest because I don't have culinary training. But she does. And then she could partner with a visiting chef, for example, to say, hey, let's take it to the next level for a culinary strategy that helps this patient population do what they're doing faster or more efficiently, or teaches them a quick tip or trick that makes it work in everyday life. So the role of a chef is really going to be about that. How do we make the food part easier, better, tastier, affordable? A dietitian has some intersection with that, but is going to bring in the medical nutrition therapy piece of how this is part of your treatment plan. and the educational piece. And then a physician says, hey, this matters for your health. I'm prescribing this to you just like I prescribe your high blood pressure meds. And I think bringing all of those pieces together, and there's other roles for health professionals too. Think about the role of a social worker who's going to bring someone to food resources. Think about the role of an occupational therapist who might say, you had a major surgery and you've lost some of your function. How can we adapt your kitchen experience? So I think there's such an opportunity for every professional to bring their unique skill set to a teaching kitchen. And I look forward to seeing that grow as these programs meet the needs of every population.
Yeah, I think as a from coming from a dietitian's perspective, I think the way you put that is really helpful. And I think it's I think of culinary medicine as having these check boxes, and different people can check different boxes, but they all need to be checked. And so as the dietitian, I know that I can help with behavior change strategies and counseling and leading a class. I also know I do have some culinary skills, so I can lead some of those culinary components to a program. But what I can't do is diagnose a patient. And I also know the classes I've taught do better when the doctor shows up and is there too. And it helps bridge that gap between I want to do this to I need to do this. It becomes part of the care process when the physician's there physically and supporting it. It goes from that nice to have to something that's part of my treatment plan, which is a very big change in perspective and how people think traditionally about like cooking skills.
Well, and it reminds me of the paper that actually you published recently with Sharon Croxford was the first author, and you were the senior author on culinary medicine or culinary nutrition, defining terms for education and practice. And I think in a new field, we have to have this season of, okay, where are the boundaries? How do we work together? How do we ensure that we're operating within our scope of practice, but we're also leaning on one another? And I love that we have to have these conversations because it means we're getting out of our usual spaces and places, and we're learning what each other can bring to the table and how we can all come together and give more. Like 1 + 1 is more than 2 in culinary medicine. And that's what I love about it. I also wanted to reflect back on, oh, by the way, anyone listening, that paper in Nutrients, I think is a really helpful review. And even the graphics showed me how to conceptualize what we're doing in the health system and as physicians, how we endorse this. And showing up matters. And I think that patients often do not take the role of nutrition in their health seriously until they hear from us, this is important for your care. Why are physicians not doing that? It's because of our own lack of nutrition education. So we have a big catch up for everyone to get on the same page. And then what if you hear as a patient, absolutely everything is consistent across your healthcare team? You see your orthopedic surgeon, you see your cardiologist, you see your internist, you see a dietitian, and they're telling you similar things, because the nutrition science community is not confused about what we need to eat for a better diet. The media often makes it look like we're confused, but we're not. We know what we need to eat for a better diet, and that we know there are a lot of different dietary patterns and combinations that can achieve the same health goals. We just have to help each individual patient and population figure out how to do it in their everyday life.
Yeah, that's such an important point of keeping consistency and trust within the healthcare system. There's so many times I've seen patients who their doctor had a conversation with them, they come see me and it's different information. And then all of a sudden there's a distrust either to me as the nutrition professional or their doctor. And instead of that, it would be so much more helpful if it was a warm handoff. I really trust this dietitian to tell you exactly what I believe also to be true. That's such a different experience than what currently happens in most clinical practice.
And it's actually kind of scary that when you look at the published literature on who people listen to for nutrition advice, they say that the trustworthiness of doctors and dietitians is high, which, you know, questionable on the doctor's side if our trustworthiness for nutrition advice should be high. But then they're actually asking friends, family, and social media. And so if we're not there to root it back in the evidence and give a consistent message, it's no wonder people are confused.
That's a really, really good point. So with my last question, I love that you brought doctors into this and how doctors can kind of upskill with some nutrition knowledge and of course make friends with their dietitians. They don't have to become the experts, but they can be the referrers to the service. What advice would you give for doctors listening how to get more involved with culinary medicine?
I think my number one take home is that culinary medicine is a burnout buster. And we are all so frustrated as physicians at the many gaps and barriers in being able to meet our patients' needs, especially in primary care. Patients come to us with more than we can do, and we feel helpless and we feel frustrated. We're constantly doing paperwork to try to get access to the resources or medications that our patients need. We're navigating complex healthcare systems alongside our patients. We're trying to figure out how to make things affordable, and it's just exhausting. And the really amazing thing about culinary medicine in the overall context of lifestyle medicine is that it empowers the patient to do so much of this without the system that blocks their progress. And so if your insurance company doesn't cover XYZ medication, maybe you have some tools that you can begin with. And as we work to try to pair medication and lifestyle appropriately, we don't feel helpless anymore. And so I think culinary medicine, I want all physicians to know, it's an evidence-based field. It is rapidly growing. There's opportunity to integrate patient care that's billable, such as group medical visits, and that's increasingly being studied all over the US right now. So stay tuned as we learn how to apply that in different models. There are opportunities to get CME in these spaces, and there's a lot of available options out there. And then there's a chance for you to figure out what this means in your own life. Because if you start to recognize, oh my gosh, if diet's the top risk factor for early death, why am I not talking about this? You start thinking about that for your family, for yourself, then you're going to apply it authentically to your patient care. And so consider culinary medicine not as one more thing, but as something that might get us back to the basics of the most practical ways that we can promote wellness.
What a great way to conclude. And I can link within the podcast some CME opportunities for physicians and other healthcare workers in case this does inspire you to garner your skills and take culinary medicine to the next level. Jacqueline, thank you so much for talking with me. I really appreciate your time.
My pleasure.